Hey everybody, welcome to another exciting episode of Data Exposed. It is a pleasure to have Liam Cavanaugh here. Liam and I have gone way back. We used to work on
SQL Azure,
the data sinkers, DataSync,
yep. Right? That's right?
Long time ago. I'm not quite sure where that's at now, but Liam has moved on to actually a more exciting service that has been recently released. Mm-hmm. But first of all, Liam, why don't you introduce yourself?
Thanks, Scott. I'm pretty excited to be here. I'm happy to be the first person to do a video on this new service called Microsoft Azure Search. I'm a program manager for this technology that we just released.
Excellent. So that's why you're here today. We're going to talk about this new service, Azure Search. So let's begin by talking about two things, right? What is it and why are we doing Azure Search?
All right, sounds good. So this is a technology, it's a fully managed search platform. The goal is to make it really easy for a developer to add great search experiences to their websites, mobile applications, whatever they might be building.
Okay, so is this something they can, that has to be a, and I apologize for possibly the dumb question, but is this an Azure Search only like in like Azure websites or things like that, or can you plug into, I don't know, Azure Machine Learning, HD Insight,
right.
SQL Database, things like that, or you know, how far do the tentacles go on Azure Search?
Yeah, so this is an API-based service, so the data can really come from anywhere. I mean, certainly most of the feedback came from people that have stores in Azure, whether that's Azure SQL, Azure Tables, even Blob Storage, and they want to provide a really great full-text search experience over that.
Okay.
But we also have a lot of people that have on-premise systems. They have the data in a SQL Server database, Mongo database, whatever it might be.
Okay.
And then what they do is they can simply take that content, that data, push it into our search service, have it indexed, and then build out that search experience over time.
So I can index on-prem, or do I have to take that data, load it up into Azure, and index it there?
Yeah, so it's a ladder. So you actually have to take the data that you want to have searchable and put that up
since
into
it's a cloud service. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's kind of nice because a lot of times people have these systems that, you know, full-text search can have a very high performance impact on that. So taking out that component and moving it to the cloud and letting us manage the scale and the, you know, the whole environment has advantages to offload that.
And so this is an interesting concept because one of the very early on, and I think there's still some questions we get about this, one of the, you know, hesitations, one of the features really missing from, you know, Azure SQL Database was the kind of the full text search. You know, people use that and they're like, well, you know, why is that not there? Is this something we can say now that, you know, you can now use Azure Search for a full text search kind of component on top of Azure SQL Database?
Yeah, that's correct. We certainly have a lot of people that especially come from Azure SQL stores.
Yep.
And so when we started out, I mean, if you look at the feature voting for Azure stores, full text search is pretty much the number one request across the board. So it's pretty obvious we needed that type of capability. But when we drilled into it a lot more, what we found is that it's not just full text that they want. It's more of, you know, this awesome search experience.
Yeah, so I didn't want to make, it was just full text search, but you know, there's that capability there, right?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. And so what we found is that, you know, people are used to searching in technologies like Bing and Google.
Yeah.
And so there's all these capabilities they expect in search. Like as you're typing, it gives you suggestions. When you see the search results, it has these concepts of facets or categories so that you can drill into, you know, manufacturer, size, price, handling spelling mistakes, synonyms. So if you search for the word shoes, but in your content it's called footwear, still finding matches. All of those add into that great search experience, but as it turns out, that's actually really, really difficult to implement and manage. So that's one of the things that we're really trying to take on with Azure Search.
So this works with a lot of our Azure services, correct?
That's right. So right now, since we're an API service, it's a matter of taking that data and pushing it to us. So there's code behind that to actually take the changes and push them to us.
Okay.
And then, so for right now, that's where we are. Certainly crawlers, so that you can actually say, when I create my index, you know, crawl this as your SQL store for changes and just populate it as happens.
Yeah, so just to make sure we, you know, I understand and our viewing audience understands, is I'm not, I don't have to take data from one location into another, unless I'm going from on-prem to the cloud, right? If I have data in Azure SQL Database or Blob Storage or wherever, I can just point my this Azure search to that and index that content, correct?
So as of today, no. You can't actually point it to that. And when we started out, it was interesting because we started out by having some crawlers for some of the common stores. But when we talked to a lot of the customers, what we found is that what happens with crawlers is they're occasional. They only periodically check for changes and bring them in.
Yeah.
Whereas most of our people, imagine you're a retailer at Black Friday and you're updating inventory and price all the time.
Constantly, yeah.
Yeah, you need that to be reflected
almost
in the
real time.
Results. Yeah, exactly. And the only way that you can really accommodate that is by pushing the changes as they happen. So for a starting point, that's where we started with the service. And as we grow, we'll start adding crawlers for convenience because it's nice to start out to tie them together.
So it'd be interesting to see this and you know, for in a demo to see how that works. So I think there's, you know, when I vision this, I'm like, okay, I don't want to, I've got my data here or here, you know, relational or NoSQL, and I want to index that. Right. For me mentally, it's I don't want to have to move that data somewhere. I want to be able to index it where it's at.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it'd be interesting to see this in a demo to help us understand that. Right?
Sounds great. Sounds great. So do you want me to show you?
Absolutely.
The
let's jump right in.
So
is there anything we're missing from a foundation that we want to talk about, or do you want to just jump right in?
No, let's just jump in and we'll go through a couple of the things from this point. So this is the new Azure portal. And as you can see up here in the top right, I already have a search service created, and we'll show that in a minute. I just wanted to give you an idea of the experience around creating a new search service. So if we go under here, under everything, when I clicked on new, we are listed under the data storage. And very soon, you'll probably see us here in the gallery. But for right now, if you click on see all, we list search. So this is the new service that you go to if you want to create a search service.
Okay.
And so when I choose that, it gives you an overview of what it is. And I click on create and start the process. So let's give it a name. So we'll just type it Scott, for example. So we're going to
create search service.
Search service. It's scott.search.windows.net. Exactly.
Awesome.
And what we do is we actually have two different pricing tiers available. We have a free option where every single Azure subscription can create up to three free shared indexes. So these are in a multi-tenant environment. So it's a whole lot of customers sitting on, you know, these big machines sharing the search resources. But you can, it's a great place to sandbox and test out that environment.
Okay.
What we found is most customers that are actually doing real search for their systems prefer to have more of a dedicated environment where they have machine resources allocated to their scale.
Okay.
So that's where we choose standard right here.
So that's dedicated to them, right?
Exactly. Okay. And then what they can do is they can add in additional units. So if they need to support more queries per second, they can scale that up. If they need to store more documents than what can be handled in a single standard unit, they can scale that up as well.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, wonderful. So they can go in here and say, oh, okay, I need more resources. I need to scale up, scale down based on the...
Yeah, right?
Okay.
Exactly.
Perfect.
So let's choose standard right now. And resource groups, this if you want to tie your resources together, is something that we would choose here. So I'm just going to bring this up and choose one of the resources I have and choose a location. Now, as you can see, we are currently in four data centers, West US, US, East US, North Europe, and Southeast Asia.
Okay.
We're going to slowly be adding more and more towards GA. So let's just choose West US for right now. If I click on it. And I can go and create the service. Now, for right now, the creation of the service takes minutes. You know, it's typically around 10, 15 minutes because we actually allocate machines and set them up. What we're going to be doing is very soon we'll set up some pool of machines so that we can just take it and create the service really quickly.
Okay. So this is going out and creating dedicated search machines for you, not available to anybody else.
Exactly.
Saying, okay, it's, you know, and can we specify the size of, you know, how much memory, how much CPUs are dedicated to the search machine, or is it just...
Yeah. You know, that's a great question. So let me drill into one of the search services that I already have created here. So this is a service called LeMCA Test.
Mm-hmm.
It's got all the typical quick start. If I look at properties here, it gives me information on the service URL so that I can make my REST calls against it. the location, the API keys so that I do the authentication against that service.
Much like Azure Storage, right?
Exactly. Very, very similar type of key system. And then to your question, here's where the scale comes in. And this is something that in the search world is a very difficult thing for people to set up and manage.
Okay.
So handling replication and sharding your indexes across multiple machines, it gets very difficult for a lot of systems. So for us, all you need to do is if I want more replicas to get more queries per second, I simply scroll this over to however many I want. And if I want more documents, I just scale up the partitions.
Okay.
And then these actually allocate additional machines for your use. So as soon as I click on save, it will start the process of setting up those machines and then automatically load balance those requests.
Okay, got it. But we can't specify like we can in virtual machines or things like that. Say I need 8 gig of RAM or things like that, or how many cores. This is just give me X amount of replicas. So we don't know.
That's right.
You know how much memory or CPUs or cores are dedicated behind the scene. We just know we have X amount of resources behind there.
That's right. And so we don't go to that level. So right now we allocate one size of machine, and then you can scale it up based on your requirements.
I see. Okay.
In your number of queries per second, and that's how.
And what that size of machine is documented, we know what that is, and we can scale up based on those machines.
Yeah, and we have some average sizes, so you can expect. For example, for an average index, that you could probably put in around 15 million documents into a single unit. You can handle around 15 queries per second, which is handles the vast majority of customers we've talked to so far.
Okay,
good. In a single unit.
Perfect. Okay, so at this point, I have my search service spun up.
Mm-hmm.
Right. What's next?
So the next thing that we need to do is now that we have the service ready, we can just go to the properties here. I'm going to discard those changes and grab the URL. So this is a URL where you can actually go and actually make your request. You can start making API calls to this to create the index, load documents into it, and start executing.
So at this point, I'm making API calls to do all the work, right? Load documents, upload documents, make create indexes, things like that.
Yeah, that's a really good point because for right now, this leads you right to the next step where you actually start doing some coding behind it. Quite often, people use tools such as Fiddler to start playing around before they do the coding. But, the next step for the UX will be to start looking at things like creation of indexes, doing queries, loading documents right from within the UX. For right now, this is where we're starting from.
Right. So. I can provision and scale up, scale down, but from writing queries, creating indexes, uploading documents, managing my documents, it's through the REST call, the API.
That's right. That's right. Yep.
Yeah. Good to know. Excellent. Awesome. This is really so. And how powerful is this? I mean, what's the if I want to start, like you said, per index, I can get 15 million documents per index, things like that, right? So how high can I go? I mean, what are the any limitations as to what I can do? With the search service?
So for these limits, the partitions, we can allocate up to 12 partitions.
Mm-hmm.
So assuming that it was 15 million documents, you could put in 15 million times 12 as kind of the upper limits for that. If you were seeing 15 queries per second, although it's not a linear growth, you can scale up to six replicas, which means that you can get pretty high into the low hundreds of queries per second.
Wow, okay.
And then if you need to actually scale higher, although we don't show that this tier in this UX now, we do have the option of allocating even larger machines.
Right.
So rather than 15 queries per second, a single one could do 60 queries per second. So, yeah, so that gets pretty high.
Yeah,
For most customers, even from a single unit. So. Yeah. Although that you don't see this in UX, we do have an option to do that for really large.
And so I think that from a beginner standpoint, this is a great introduction on how why we did it, what it is, and how we can set it up. It would be very nice to have you back to talk about, look, how do we use the REST API?
That'd
how
be
do
great.
We, right? Yeah. And so I could see another four or five videos with Liam in here helping us educate us on really where the power comes from Azure Search, what we can do with it, how do we work with the API, things like that.
Sounds great.
This is awesome. However, we have a special treat for you today. So we'd like to welcome in Mike. So Mike, come on in here.
Hey, Mike.
Mike, why don't you introduce yourself?
So my name is Mike Sampson. If you've been on Channel 9 a long time, I have too, so you've probably seen me there. I was a developer on Channel 9 for 8 years. I've recently moved on to a different team, but before I left, I implemented our brand new search on top of a internal preview of Azure Search.
So we have some questions for you about this.
So can I just get a little bit of an idea of, you know, what you were doing before and, you know, why you looked at using Azure Search?
Sure. So we talked about this before on the site in some other videos or blog posts, but we used Bing pretty extensively as our search engine. So we, if you looked at our headers, we had tons of headers in there that talked about entry IDs and metadatas and tags and things like that. And that allowed us to, on the server side, craft a very specific Bing query string, the kind that you would never type into a real search box, that would let us get things just scoped to us of a certain type and things like that. It worked out okay. Bing, over time, as Bing got better at being a better general purpose search engine, ended up not being as great for us. It favored things that were more recent, its relevancy wasn't controllable by us, and the rate at which it crawled us wasn't controllable. And so it was a good experience, but we knew we could do better.
Okay.
And so when we heard about Azure Search, we were looking at a couple of other search options that we'd roll ourselves,
right,
like running our own, some of the other, you know, search options out there, like Lucene or some other things, but we'd have to run those ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We'd have to find the 2 or 3 blog posts of some guy who got them running in Azure one time and hope that he did it right.
Yeah.
It looked daunting, but this seemed basically kind of what we wanted. It is a black box that just does search stuff. We just tell it about our content, how to index it, load it up, and search it, and it just works. And that was pretty accurate.
So how easy was it to work with the Azure Search?
It's pretty easy. The code for it is super tiny. There's two pieces. We have the document loader that runs as a Azure web job behind an Azure website, because we had to use all the Azure technologies in this solution. and it receives a message from the Azure scheduler. And so every 15 minutes, it gets a message that says, hey, go scan the database and update anything that's been updated in the last 20 minutes. Because that's about how often we're okay with a little bit of lag on our site updating.
Right.
And then there's one that goes every day that says, just refresh the whole thing. So just in case we lose a couple messages during the day or something, we can catch back up.
Refresh everything.
We're never more than a day behind.
Yeah.
And so that piece just runs. It listens to queue messages. It gets a queue message, figures out the work, queues a bunch more batches, just queries the database, and then just sends these giant batches, because you can upload all your documents in batches.
Yeah.
And right now we index blog posts and entries and sessions for events, all in one index.
Very nice. We
transform what's multiple types for us, we just turn into a single type for the index, because when you're searching, you don't really care which kind of thing it is.
Right.
You just want to find a video. That code is maybe 500-600 lines of C#.
Yeah.
It's super easy. Especially using the web API HTTP client, like you can just write a little intermediate handler that handles all the authentication and API version for you, and then it's just really easy to write simple.
Yes.
It's all JSON, so JSON.NET and all like standard serialization stuff. It was really easy to get going, and I did start in Fiddler, like you guys were talking about earlier. And it even creates the index. We can recreate the index, so as we change, as we tweak some things and set all the different weightings for our different things, so we get back the results we want. The other piece runs in the website, written in Node.js, and it's a little proxy.
Yeah.
All our search is done client side.
Yeah.
So when you go to channel9/search and you type in a search, it just does XHR to get the results. And it hits our little proxy, which is just a simple little Node.js piece that calls Azure Search Service, gets the results, we log them, we tweak them a little bit to put some more metadata in there, and then we send them back.
Yeah.
The proxy also logs whenever someone clicks on a search result, so we can see what search terms are popular, what search terms get you to what you want. If you're a content creator, on the inside you can see what search terms show my content, but kind of more importantly, what search terms get people to click on my content.
Very nice.
And just kind of general what's getting searched. And maybe even later we can start to feed some of that data back into the search results. So things that get clicked on a lot maybe show up a little more because people seem to be finding this useful.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
So since there's a lot of video content, I assume you're not putting the video content into Azure Search.
No.
So how do you tie that together between the data that you want to be searchable and then having some binary content that doesn't make sense to be searched?
Sure. So in our system, what we actually save in the search is like the title, the body, the tags, the authors, things like that. But we also put in the permalink to the entry, as well as the image of the preview, of like the preview images. So we don't actually let you watch the video from the search results page, but we'll show you a nice preview image. If you go to like the browse page and we show you like a list of entries with nice big thumbnails, we usually only let you watch the video on the page of the entry itself.
Yep.
So thankfully, all we need to save is the permalink. And so we save that in the document, and that's actually what gets tweaked a little bit when we return it from the proxy. It gets changed to like a redirect that goes back through the proxy so we can log the click, and then we just redirect you to the to the final result.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yep, and we save all our logs in table storage, and I wrote a couple of prototypes before I left that would dump that into Hadoop and like try to like crunch it and figure out like what are the top 10 search terms and what are the top 10 entries that are getting clicks and what are the top 10 entries getting showed and things like that.
But that's great.
But yeah, and it's just it's a nice simple JSON REST API, so it works pretty much like you'd expect that to work, and you can use all the standard tools. And I mean, like as an example, we wrote C# that called it. We wrote Node.js that called it. Like it just it's pretty. If you know how to do any of those things, you should be able to use this API. It's pretty great.
Otherwise, find a new career.
It was seriously like 2 weeks of work. Other than the JavaScript front end was a little tricky, but you know it always is. And there we go. It's pretty easy.
Perfect.
That's awesome. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, Mike, thank you. So I'm excited to have you back to talk about some of the things that Mike was just talking about how easy it is to program with these. Because I think that's where the power is going to be. And as the new changes and enhancements come out, this will be awesome. So I'm excited to we'll have you back here pretty quick.
Absolutely, anytime.
So this was released just recently, right?
That's right, on the 21st.
Awesome, perfect. So start using Azure Search. if there's anything to take away, start using Azure Search. So Liam, thanks for coming.
Thank
appreciate
you very
it.
Much.
Mike, thanks for explaining it.
No
and appreciate you watching. We'll see you next time.
Thanks.